I'm very happy to be here and not at home in New York where I live, because I don't know if you heard, but New York City had an earthquake today, which, you know, would be terrifying if it wasn't already New York City. There's so much happening in New York all the time. It just, it's fun to think about where everybody was during that earthquake, you know? There's a lot of crime in New York. Somebody was getting robbed during that earthquake. Somebody was in the middle of, like, give me everything. Don't move! No. Some people were in their apartment. Apartment shakes. Buildings are so old and decrepit, they're like, I knew it was going to collapse one day. I was just hoping I'd be at work when it did, but... It's an odd thing, you know? Maybe somebody is visiting New York. They just got there. Very excited. And you know that annoying type of... Oh, Lord. Okay. Not talking about you. It just sounded like so much stuff. Like, that... It's clearly more than one plate. Oh, but maybe somebody just got there and they're very excited. They're like, ooh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get some street food. I'm going to get an authentic New York hot dog. This is going to be amazing. And then earthquake hits. And then they are covered in hot dog water. It'd honestly be the most New York experience they could have. Another thing, I think enough time has passed that I can talk about it without it being awkward. Like, one of the weirdest things to me about 2020 in general was, you know how there's bunker people? There are people that save up a bunch of money to build a bunker in different types. Some people build a bunker underground. Some people have a different location they're going to go to if things hit the fan and everything. Some people have like a whole site that they've built and stuff. And we've always, for years, for decades, made fun of them, right? It's something that started in the Cold War because they were so sure that the Russians were going to bomb us that they started to make bunkers, and it was a normal thing. Then, as those sort of fears started to disappear a little bit, it became less common. But then there were some people who were still like, guys, something's wrong. Some bad things could happen. So they made bunkers, but then they started making it with, you know, their personal wealth and everything. And we made fun of them all the time, you know? And then 2020 hits, global pandemic that affects everyone in every country. And almost all the bunker people were like, that shit ain't real. But you built in case the whole world. Can I go in the bunker? Oh. Man. I've been thinking a lot about just the general power of marketing, of ads and everything. And I don't know about y'all, but I always feel like I'm smarter than ads. Like, I always feel like, that's ad. I can see it. That's product placement. You can't fool me. You're not going to get me. That's an ad. And I always feel like I'm better than advertising, like I'm above it all. But I do have a bunch of stuff that I don't use, that I don't really remember why I got it. You know? And I think it's something that we need to pay more attention to, is just the power of marketing, how influential it is, you know? Like imagine. Just imagine a world where you work at some sort of agency, right? An ad agency, whatever, some type of marketing agency. And not now, right? Let's go even further back to when people were paying even less attention to ads and they were served less of them every day, right? Let's say you know, 70s, 80s maybe, and you're working at this agency. And you go in one day to work, just any regular day. And let's say you're like co-VP or something like that. You're high up there, right? And then you get into the building and everybody crying. You don't know why. People are walking out with those, you know, those cardboard boxes specifically for when you're fired. Everybody got one. Shaking, walking about, running out and everything. And you're like, what happened? And no one's even answering you. As you pass by people, you're like, what happened? They're like, oh. And then you get to your office. Maybe you share an office with somebody. And so you look at your partner and you're like, hey, what's everybody so upset about? What happened? Right? And then he's devastated. He's like, oh, it's horrible. One of our biggest accounts. Top accounts, right? One of our top accounts, Kool-Aid, some cult. Some cult grabbed some Kool-Aid and they put a bunch of cyanide in it. They did like a mass thing. I don't know. The client is freaking out, you know. People may never buy the product again. We don't know what to do. This could be the end for us. Because if they close, we close, right? And then you, being the brilliant marketing agent that you are, you stand there in the moment that this is happening. The day that the news has reached your office and you're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's lean into it. They drank the Kool-Aid. It's just that good. You think about it. Any other product, any other time frame, that product would be done. You know what I mean? Like if a bunch of people killed themselves with Snickers, I don't know if we would all be like, you're not you when you're hungry. You know what I mean? That's the power. To this day, even after a tragedy like that, to this day, people be at the barbecue like, pass me some of that red. That's some good stuff, you know? And the thing about it is that on its own, it's not bad, right? On its own, you're just trying to sell something. You're just trying to make a buck. And maybe it's something that people will like. In an ideal world, all the marketing leads the people to what they want anyway, right? But it doesn't always work that way. Because we found that the easiest way to make money is to make people feel like they don't have something, to make them feel less. So then if I'm less, maybe this thing will make me more and it'll make me enough, right? Because if we never feel like we're enough, then we always need a little something else, right? And that's how they make money. If you were always content all the time, no one would be able to sell anything to you, you know? And so on its face, it's not bad what they're doing. But when they're all doing it at the same time, and it's most of what you see, when it's ads all the time being like, you're not this, you're not this, you could be this, you could be better, right? It just starts to make you feel terrible. It starts to make you feel like you don't matter at all. And I hope one takeaway that you have from the show, not just laughing, I hope that you walk away from the show feeling like you matter as a person, right? Because you do. It's very important that you feel like you matter, that you have influence, because you do, right? A world where you think you don't matter terrifies me. Because it means that all of the little pieces, all the interactions that you're supposed to be having with other people are going to be missed out on because you think you don't matter, right? Like we all sometimes feel like a little cog, like a little bolt, just in a big piece of machinery, right? Because the bigger picture is bigger than all of us. But you are so important. Even if you feel like you're that little bolt, you're very important. It's not the same without you. I hope you understand that. You're as important as every bolt on the door of a Boeing plane. Because maybe that's what happened. Maybe at the factory when they were building the plane, you know, they didn't screw the bolt down all the way. So then the little bolt's like, do I even matter? If they don't care, why should I care? Then mid-flight, it's like, I give up. I don't care. And then the door flies open. You're like, oh, what the hell? Because you're the window seat. Oh. And now you got the CEO of Boeing, David Calhoun. It's important to say their names. No, it is. They always just get to move like these faceless people that don't do anything and then get to enjoy their money. It's like, no, his name is David Calhoun, and we should all know it and say it and hopefully find him. Just to chat. You know? But no, he's stepping down. And I don't know. I don't like that. He's stepping down now, and I think that should be illegal. You shouldn't be able to go. You should have to stay until it's fixed. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy that you messed it up. And now you're leaving with a severance package, by the way. With a, you know, articles call it a golden parachute. How ironic. You get to leave, but you messed the whole thing up. You know? And I'm not, I know he's not fully alone, but he's the lead. You know, when you're the CEO, you're the captain. You know? And he gets to leave? That's crazy. And he gets to leave richer for messing it up. That's mind-blowing. He should have to stay until it's fixed. This should be the last job he's allowed to ever have. Until it's fixed. You know? And if it closes, then no more work for you. And by no more work, I don't mean you get to go off and enjoy. I mean, you will not make another dollar for the rest of your life. You need some stakes to be in the game, you know? Because I had a friend actually take up for the process. I had a friend be like, but Josh, now that he's stepping down, someone good could step in. Someone that cares, someone that could fix the thing. And I'm like, are you brand new? Like, what? In what world is that going to happen? That's so crazy. I told him the same thing I'm going to tell you now. Imagine you're on a flight, right? Middle row, middle seat. You're not having a good life. And you're on this flight, and during the flight, you feel this incredible turbulence. And I'm not talking about those air pockets where you drop a little bit. I'm talking about you're hearing noises you've never heard before. Just like terrifying stuff all happening at one time. And it's not just like a little bump, bump, bump. You're swinging, you're slamming into things and everything. Those air masks drop down. You know, the ones that definitely don't work. I hate that part of the demonstration so much, by the way. They always put the thing on and everything. And then they're like, the mask may not inflate, but oxygen is still flowing. It's like, that sounds like something you'd say to a dead person. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. The mask may not inflate at all, but I promise it's still working because you won't be able to tell anyone it didn't. Mind blow. No, I swear. You know, but let's say that's happening. You're in it. They're screaming, people crying, people praying, people tearing up and everything. And in the midst of all this turbulence, the cockpit door swings open, and the captain walks out. And the captain doesn't walk out to say, hey, everybody, we have it under control. Please don't panic, right? Captain doesn't come out there to say, look, the PA system broke. I just want to tell you myself, we're all going to make it. We're all going to be okay. I'm going to make sure we make a safe landing, right? The cockpit swings open, and the captain comes out to say, I've decided to resign from my position. As your captain, it's been an honor, but I can no longer uphold the standard of this plane, and so I will be leaving. Wearing a parachute, by the way. He's wearing a parachute while he's talking to you. He's wearing a parachute while he's talking to you, because I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I know I messed everything up, but I'll be okay, okay? And then he jumps out of the already open door. No, shouldn't be allowed. When I can.